In this week's Parsha, Parshas Tazriah, we're going to learn a number of lessons that revolve around topics which are not as relevant today as they've been at the time when there was Tumah and Tahara, impurity and purity. But we're going to learn them because we want to understand how they were taught and how people lived and what the Torah has to teach us. So the Parsha begins, as the Tzenei Renner often does, by quoting the book of Mishlei, quoting a lesson in Musar that is brought down by Rabbeinu Bachai. The pasuk says, "Simcha le'ish b'mane piv." A person is happy when he answers with his mouth. When a person speaks words of wisdom, he gets very happy. Why? Why is he happier when he says something intelligent than when he cooks a good meal or when he runs a race? The reason is that speech, our ability to be articulate, comes from Hashem, as it's written, "Le'ish marche lev umi Hashem ma'ane lashon." To man is the one who arranges the heart. We plan what we want to say, but Hashem answers with speech. Hashem is the one who puts the words in our mouth. We can prepare as much as we want for a speech and know what we want to say, but how the speech comes out is only due to the help of Hashem. What this teaches us is that when a man speaks with wisdom, this is always done with the help of Hashem, and that should make us happy that Hashem has influenced us. What we say is not the only thing that we need to consider when we're speaking. We can choose also when to say something. It's not only the words we use, but having said it at the proper time, and this makes Hashem happy. How does doing something at the right time apply to speech? There is a time and place to say anything. As an example, the Tzenei Rezer says that if a person wants to sing in the house of a mourner, that's completely inappropriate. If a person wants to start mourning at a wedding, that's also inappropriate. We need to be able to speak based on the circumstances, based on what's going on, and control how we feel and how we express those emotions. The same thing happens with sharing words of Torah. If a person starts talking about Sukkot on Pesach, or Pesach, he starts giving speeches about Sukkot, it may be Torah, but it's not called in its right time. We are required to notice social cues and not just try to push what we want to talk about into any time and place. Even if it's Torah that we want to share, we should respect what's going on and notice it. The Medrash says in the Pasuk, "Simcha le'ish b'mane lashon," that happiness is for a person when he answers with his mouth. That this joy is actually talking about Hashem. Simcha le'ish, there is happiness to a man. Hashem is called Ish Mochama. So it's saying, Hashem is happy when b'mane lashon, when Hashem used his speech to create the world. Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, and Hashem is happy with his creation. Hashem is happy that he created the world at the right time and at the right place. The Tzenei Renner will explain now how man's creation was at the right time and then connect it to the order of the topics at the end of last week's Parsha and the beginning of this week's Parsha. Mankind was created at the end of the 6 days of creation. Why wasn't man created earlier? The Tzenei Renner tells us that at the end of creation, that was the proper time and place for man to be created. Man was the most important creation in the entire world. The whole world was only created so that mankind could come, look around the world, and recognize Hashem with his intelligence, with his knowledge, and with his awareness. Similarly, Shabbos also comes at the end of creation, and that is because Shabbos is the most important day of all the days of the week. Similarly, the world to come, Olam Haba, is the most important era from the entire span of time, and it comes at the end after we leave this world. Chazal explained why Hashem put man, Shabbos, and Olam Haba at the end rather than at the beginning if they are the most important. They tell us, Sof Ma'aseh B'machshav Tchila, that the end goal, the thing that you plan for initially, will be done at the end of all the actions. As an example, you have a person who realizes he wants to learn Torah, but he looks around his house and he sees that he has no place to learn. He's living in a loft apartment with his wife and kids. So he needs to make himself a place to learn first. There's a nice lot of land that he owns outside of the apartment. So he spends his time and money designing his house and then building the house. And after everything's complete, he finally goes into his study and learns Torah. What was his priority? His priority was to learn Torah. But if you look at his actions, you don't realize that. You think his priority is the construction. But really, he only made the construction because he needed a place to sit so he can focus on learning. To him, learning Torah was the most important thing, more than his construction plans. He only got involved in the construction because of his end goal. We can learn from this example how to understand the order of man and creation. Even though man was created last, he was the purpose for the whole creation and everything in the world was created for him. Now let's connect this idea to this week's parsha. In last week's parsha, we learned about how to act with animals and beasts which were created from the ground, which ones are kosher and which ones are treif. Then the Torah talks about fish, which are in the water, which ones are kosher and which ones are not. Then the Torah speaks about birds, which are in the air, which ones are kosher and which ones are not. And after all this, in the parsha, the Torah speaks about the laws regarding mankind, that he shouldn't strengthen himself with the Torah and mitzvos, because this is the purpose of all creation, that he should guard the Torah and mitzvos, because without him, without mankind, Hashem would not have created the world, Hashem would not have created the animals on the ground, the fish in the sea, or the birds in the air. Mankind is the purpose for all of creation, so he comes last. We now go into the first law from this parsha, which focuses on mankind. The pasuk says, Isha ki tazriya zera, a woman when she gives birth. Chazal learned from here that in a circumstance where a woman gives birth to a child that's not full term and the baby is a stillborn, she is still tame, she is still ritually impure from the birth, as if she had given birth to a living child. The Midrash says that it is a miracle, and we can see what a miracle it is, the fact that we have babies. What does it mean when Hashem creates a child? If a man were put into jail for 1 day or 2 days, he couldn't wait to leave. He would want to leave. He would try to push his way out. But a baby is attached to his mother and stuck inside for 9 months, and he doesn't want to leave. And Hashem guards the child there so nothing bad can happen to it. Rabbi Meir says further that what else is a miracle? That Hashem takes a child, puts it in a place of blood, which sustains the child. But the minute it's born, all that blood in the mother turns into milk, and then she can nourish the child and nurse the child and he can live. That is a miracle. The process of childbirth is one that we must acknowledge Hashem when we think about it. Rabbeinu Bachaye writes that there are three worlds that mankind is involved in. The first world is when a child is found in his mother's womb. The baby is in there and he sees wonders and miracles from Hashem. A candle is lit over his head, whatever that should mean, and he learns the whole Torah with a malach. He sees Gan Eden, and he also sees Gehenna, hell. And the malachim say to him when he's in the womb, choose to become a tzaddik. You're about to go into the world. Become righteous. Become a tzaddik in the world that you're being born into. And through this, you'll be worthy to come into Gan Eden, to sit amongst the tzaddikim, and they'll give you honor just like they themselves are receiving honor in Gan Eden. But, chas v'shalom, God forbid, you choose to become a rasha, an evil person, you're going to go to Gehenna, just like every other evil person goes down to Gehenna because of their evil deeds. The child, who's comfortably in the womb, learning Torah, hears this message, and he doesn't want to leave his mother's womb. He gets to eat whatever his mother is eating. It's a pleasure. He doesn't have any troubles. He doesn't need to support himself. At the moment when it's time to be born, he cries and he comes into this world against his will, kicking and screaming. Because a person is born, ki bal karchech karcha atanolad. You're born against your will. But the child who isn't interested in leaving to come into this world isn't interested because this world is filled with pain and worry and anxiety. But after he's born and comes into this world and gets older and he grows up, and he understands the concept of Torah mitzvos and the miracles and wonders that Hashem does with his creation, then he starts to earn his reward. He starts to earn a reward and earn a place in this world. But when he needs to leave this world that he protested so much that he didn't want to come into, and when he's being taken to die, he dies against his will and without him wanting it at all. It's painful to throw away everything that a person has worked on and to separate from the world. These two worlds, this world and when a woman is pregnant, have a definitive end. They have a limited time span. And they last for a specific amount of time, which we might not know, but Hashem always knows. A woman is pregnant for 9 months, and the Sanhedrin says it can last up until a year. And in the end, a person's lifespan is on average 70 years, says the Sanhedrin. In the next world, Olam Haba, there's no time and no end. The next world is eternal. We see that a person goes from one world to the next world for a good purpose, that when a person dies, they're going to someplace good. And the final world is the best place they can be. It is the greatest good. The Tzen Arena now returns to the question that is dealt with originally, which is the order of the topics in the Parsha. He quotes the Inrei Noam who asks a question. If the Torah is interested that a person busy himself with Torah mitzvos, the Torah should have written the mitzvos and laws of man before he writes about the laws of animals and beasts and birds, because then he could actualize what it's written, and man is the most important being of creation. Why does the Torah first write the laws of animals and creatures or birds? In the end, it writes the laws regarding man and how to live. Additionally, it writes the laws of women before it writes the laws of man, and women were created after man. The laws of women are the laws of Tumah and Tahara regarding childbirth, and the laws of man are the laws of Tzara'as, which we can't really translate. It was a spiritual affliction, even though men were created before the women. The reason is that women give birth every day. We recognize it as a miracle, but it seems something that's rather natural. The laws involving Tzara'as are very rare, and they don't happen very often. So the Torah puts it at the end, because the laws of giving birth happen frequently, and so Hashem wants to emphasize those before writing about the laws of Tzara'as. The Baal HaTurim writes about the Pasuk, which follows this idea of that a woman gives birth, V'hiskadashtem v'yisim kedoshim, that you should sanctify yourself and you should be holy. And it writes this after having written about a woman giving birth. And this teaches us that a man needs to make himself holy when he is being intimate with his wife. And what does that look like? If he goes to the bathroom, he should not immediately go to be with his wife. He should wait a short time. The Baal HaTurim also writes that the word zachar, male, has the gematria of bracha, blessing, because having a son is a blessing from Hashem. The Tzedarana next mentions that the Torah mentions that a woman is tameh for 7 days for a boy. This is similar to the fact that there are 7 days of mourning when a person's parents or siblings pass away, and 7 days of Shev Brachos, 7 days of feasts that come after a wedding. Seven is a significant number in the Torah, as was mentioned at the beginning of Parsha Shmini in the previous Parsha. The Tzinarena then discusses a woman who is in a state of Nida when she is menstruating. He tells us that a woman will not see blood of Nida without her head hurting and all of her body becoming heavy. The Tzinarena discusses becoming a Nida, menstruation, and we don't really find these things to be applied today, but it's important to know how it's being discussed, how it was taught over the generations. So a woman is called a Nida, and the reason is because every person separates from her. It is forbidden to sit within her Dalad Amos, within the four Amos around her, in her immediate vicinity, and she needs to sit alone. This used to be the minhag, the custom in early years, even in non-Jewish cultures, that they would separate themselves from the woman who was a Nida. Even a woman's footsteps on the ground have a tuma. If a person is a Nida and she speaks to somebody, that also is problematic. And the Tzinarena brings an example from Lavan when he was searching the tent of Rachel for the truffin. She was sitting, and she said to her father that she was b'derech nashim, meaning she was menstruating, and she couldn't get up. Lavan is silent and doesn't react at all in the psukim. He doesn't answer her, and she doesn't kiss her hands, because the breath and speech of a nida, of a woman who's menstruating, says that Tzinarena can cause harm. It is also known that someone who sleeps with a woman who is a nida harms himself. Chazal say that when a woman is a nida, if she is at the beginning of her menstruating and she looks at a sharpened sword or at a mirror, you can see on it a stain. And from here we see that even looking at a nida causes harm, and that she could harm something with her sight. The psukim continue, Ubiyom hashmini yumol basar arlas son. On the eighth day, you need to circumcise the child, even if it happens that that eighth day is Shabbos. The Tzinarena brings a very important medrash from Parshas Tazria, which is mentioned in the Midrash Tanchuma, which Rabbeinu Bachaye quotes, and it's part of a series of debates that Rabbi Akiva had with the evil ruler of the Roman Empire, who was a Roman governor, Turnus Rufus. And he was constantly debating Rabbi Akiva, but these debates were not just questions that were, just random. Rather, he was debating and discussing philosophical truths. Whose religion and lifestyle, whose culture was better? Was it the Romans or was it the Jews? So the evil Turnus Rufus turns to Rabbi Akiva and says, whose deeds are better? Are man better? Meaning, is this world incomplete and imperfect? Or are the acts of God better, meaning that God created a perfect world and he doesn't need man to do anything. Rabbi Akiva said, man's actions are better. So Rufus turns to him and said, is it possible for man to make the heavens? God made the heavens. You go try making stars and moons and solar systems. Rabbi Akiva said to him, don't ask me about things that are found above. Everything found in the heavens are not possible for man to do. You should only ask me about things in this world. Tunis Rufus asked him, why do you give yourself a bris? Couldn't Hashem create you already circumcised? If he wants you circumcised, then he would do it himself. Rabbi Akiva said, you know when a child is born, they cut the umbilical cord. Why doesn't Hashem create a child without needing to cut the cord and without this connection to his mother? Rather, Hashem left something that man can do on his own, whether to cut the umbilical cord on his own, or similarly, Hashem leaves the bris for us to fix ourselves, to complete our work in this world. And this was the debate of Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus is saying, everything in this world is perfect, we just need to benefit from it. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, no, we need to grow, we need to fix, we need to follow the mitzvahs of Hashem in order to improve ourselves and improve our world. Aside from the fact that Tanamana continues, that Hashem wants us to participate in the world, Hashem also wants to test us to see if we'll listen to Hashem or not, and whether or not we can go ahead and circumcise our son. And this will be an indication of how we will keep the other mitzvahs. We move to the next topic in the parasha. When a woman gives birth to a boy, she is tmei'ah for 40 days. She is ritually impure for 40 days. And if it's a girl, then she's tmei'ah for 80 days. And the reason is because a girl is a daughter and she is naturally cold and wet. So it takes more time for the woman who gave birth to become tahor. The chaper aleha. The pasuk then says that a woman atones for it when she has a baby by bringing a karban. A woman needs to bring a karban when she gets up from her bed and she becomes pure and she purifies herself. Why does she bring this karban? Especially since it's a karban for a sin. The reason she brings this karban is she brings it on behalf of Chava, who was married to Adam, because Chava did an aveira that she ate from the Eitz Hadas and gave it to Adam to eat from. By doing so, she caused that all women should have difficulty in childbirth. Because had Chava not sinned with Eitz Hadas, had Chava not sinned with Eitz Hadas and creation would have continued to perfection, woman would have given birth with no problem, with no pain. Almost like having that a person can pick a fruit off of a tree without any difficulty. For this reason, women have been given three mitzvos, chala, nida, and halakha saner, lighting of candles on Erev Shabbos, to atone for the sin. Chazal say another reason why a woman is required to bring a karban after giving birth is that at the time when a woman gives birth, she feels like she's in so much trouble, so much pain, that she's had so many hard pains and so much suffering that she is swearing she will never let her husband touch her again. Her swear is not really a swear because she's obviously doing this only out of pain. But in addition, she can't swear to not do something with her husband that's part of marriage. She can't annul her marriage in this way. So when she's swearing that this is because this is how she feels emotionally, but is not reality. And so she needs to bring a karban. Nowadays, the Sanhedrin tells us when there are no karbanos, it is a mitzvah for her husband to try to abide mitzvos, to acquire mitzvos, meaning he should get an aliyah to the Torah when she comes to shul after giving birth. The pasuk continues, Adam kiyeh b'or basar. If a man has in his skin, if a man has tzaras, if it happens that a person has some sort of tzaras on his body, he needs to show it to a kohen. Rabbeinu Bachai writes, why doesn't Torah write the laws of tzaras with the same language it writes other halachos? And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, speak to all of Bnei Yisrael. Instead of writing the topic with this introduction, the pasuk has no introduction and just gets into the laws, which is different than all the other laws in the Torah. It doesn't mention Hashem's name at all. It only mentions the word Adam. The reason is that Hashem doesn't want his name mentioned as something so bad like Taras. Hashem is not interested in making a person guilty. The pasuk says, Ha'im echpots me'mot ha'rasha? Do I want the death of an evil person? Rather, Hashem wants us to be involved in Torah and mitzvos. Hashem chafetz l'man sikto, Yagdil Torah Yadir. Hashem warns for his righteousness that the Torah will become greater and multiply. Although Hashem created good and evil, as the Tzen Arana says, Hashem doesn't want his name to be mentioned with its saras, with punishment, as this is not his desire, and this is not how he wants the world to perceive of it. He allows it to happen in the world so that there can be free will, but Hashem also at the same time wants us to be successful. Similarly, the Tzen Arana teaches that when Hashem created the light and darkness on the first day, the Pasuk in Bereishis says that in the beginning of creation, Hashem called the light day, and the darkness was called night. With darkness, it doesn't mention the name of Hashem, and it's written in passive tense. Darkness represents all things evil, all things bad, and it represents the absence of Hashem and the ability for man to choose bad. It's not appropriate to mention the name of Hashem with these bad things. At the time when Hashem created Adam and Chava, it mentions Hashem's name because it has to do with good, and so therefore it's appropriate to mention the name of Hashem, as it says, Vayirech Hashem Osam, Hashem blessed them. But when he's punishing them, it doesn't mention his name. Chazal say that there are three things where Hashem's name is mentioned and something bad is going on. The first is with the snake who spoke bad against Hashem, and it mentions Hashem's name with the punishment, as it's written in the Pasuk, that Hashem Elohim said to the snake, you're going to be punished. The second time it connects Hashem to bad is when a Jew violates the words of the Chachamim, as it's written in the Pasuk, Aror ha'ish asher lo yishma es divrei habris hazos. Cursed is the man who doesn't listen to the words of the covenant. Hashem will curse this man who doesn't want to listen to the words of his covenant, which are the words of our sages. It's specifically referring to the Chachamim. It's not talking about not listening to the Tanakh. Rather, it's listening that we don't listen to what our sages instructed us. The third instance in where Hashem's name is connected to bad is where it says in the Pasuk, Aror hagever asher yiftach ba'adam, that cursed is the man who doesn't trust in Hashem and trusts in mankind. These three examples, Hashem connects his name to them even for something bad because they are so terrible. The snake when he was punished, when he got Chava and Adam to sin, when we're talking about the fact that we are supposed to listen to our sages, and also when we need to trust Hashem to provide for us. And so we're at the end of our Parsha conversations for this week. Let's go back and look at some of the lessons that we learned. The first was that we need to talk about things at the right time in the right place. We have to be conscious of what's going on. And Hashem also appreciates what he talked about when he created the world. And what happens at the end of something indicates what the plan was all along. So if a person builds a home or does something so that they can learn Torah, we can see that it's not the materialism that they're involved in, but rather they have other goals. We also learn that the order of mankind in creation is because man was the purpose of creation. So we always need to make sure that we're using creation properly and using it to elevate this world, because all the animals in this world are depending on us. We learned about what a miracle it is for a child to be born, and that a child transitions through different worlds based on where they are, what stage they are in life, whether they're in utero, whether they're alive and working in this world, or whether they are in Olam Haba. There are three stages with positive benefits in each one, but the best, of course, is Olam Haba. And we learned about the story of Turnus Rufus, who asked why Hashem requires a bris, and we learned that our job in this world is to improve what we had before. It's not enough to just go with the flow and accept everything. We need to improve upon the world that Hashem gave us. That is a choice he's giving us, and that is what he expects from us. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a good Shabbos.